There is a word from the Lord today, and it comes from the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Would you please stand for the reading of God's holy word? And if you can't stand, just say amen. And I will read it for your hearing. And it reads, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ Jesus, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Amen to the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. My theme for today is, have you been tested in the fire? Have you been tested in the fire? I need your prayers. My brothers and sisters, I believe that most of us here today have spent some time studying our Bibles. And for those of us who have read it from cover to cover, we know that the Bible is full of stories about struggles and hard times. And the question that has been raised over and over again is, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, it appeared that the wicked prospered while the righteous suffered. And the prophet Habakkuk was bold enough to question how long God would allow the wicked to go unpunished, and how long must he call for help without hearing from heaven? How long, O Lord, how long? And Habakkuk's prayer was a prayer of protest and impatience. And that's the same prayer of many in the church today who have struggled for so long with various ailments and afflictions that they feel as if their struggles will never end. But God heard the cries of his prophet and assured Habakkuk that in due time, and somebody say in due time, in due time, that he would intervene and everything would be all right. And we have that same assurance that if we are patient and faithful to his word, that God will give us everything we need to make it to the other side of our struggles. And like the other Old Testament prophets, Habakkuk knew in his heart that whatever the circumstances may be, that God was still in control. And in his final prayer, Habakkuk composed a song of praise and unshakable faith, where he says at Habakkuk 3:18 and 19, "Though the fig tree does not bloom, and there are no grapes on the vine, and though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in the God of my salvation." But there were also times when Habakkuk and the other Old Testament prophets did not feel like rejoicing, because their faith would be tried and tested, as evidenced by their struggles. For as you recall, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet who was beaten and thrown into prison and wanted to quit preaching because the people did not want to hear what he had to say. And the prophet Elijah suffered with depression and wanted to commit suicide because Queen Jezebel, the most wicked woman in the Bible, made a vow that his life would soon be taken. But even in the midst of their struggles, the prophets knew that God was with them and would deliver them out of their troubles. And when God brought the children of Israel out of bondage into the land of promise, the Bible says that God left the strong and mighty Canaanites in the land so that his people would learn to trust in him to fight their battles. And let us also be mindful of the story of Job. For the Bible said that Job was an upright man. In fact, Job was the most righteous man in the land. And yet, God allowed Satan to attack Job in order to test his faith. And Job lost everything that he had. He lost his health, his wealth, and his 10 children. But the one thing that Satan could not take away from Job was his hope in the promises of God. And God had promised that no weapon or no enemy would prevail against his people. And that is why that even in the midst of his grief and suffering, Job still had the courage to boldly declare that even though the devil may slay him, yet will he trust in the Lord. Because Job had faith and hope in the eternal promises of God. And we have that same hope. But as long as we are in these earthly bodies, we're going to have some trials and tribulation. But Jesus said that we should never get discouraged because he has overcome the world. And by the blood of his cross, he has already defeated Satan and delivered us from the power and dominion of sin. And if we stand firm in faith, and somebody says, stand firm in faith. Stand firm in faith. If we stand firm in faith and seek after the things of God, then we can continue this earthly journey with the confidence of knowing that God is our protector and our keeper. And he will meet us at our point in need and will keep and bless us according to our faith. And that brings us to our text today, where Peter is encouraging the church to be joyful even in the midst of trials and persecution. And there are at least three important points that we can extract from today's text. First of all, we learn that we have been born to a living hope in Christ Jesus. Secondly, we learn that we can rejoice because our trials are only for a season. And then finally, we learn that our trials are meant for a purpose. And in verse 3, we read that God has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Yeah. And the Bible says that 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 and 17, that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our faith would be in vain. For without the resurrection, there would be no hope of eternal life in the kingdom that is yet to come. For the Bible said that we were born dead in our transgression and sin and had no hope beyond the darkness of this broken and sinful world. But the good news, somebody said the good news. The good news is that Christ has paid the penalty for our sins. And we now have the hope that is grounded in his resurrection, as revealed in the revelation of the living word. And that word is Christ Jesus, who is the foundation of our faith and the source of our joy. And the Bible says that he has no beginning and no ending, and has always been with his Father in heaven. And when the time had come, he left his throne in glory and took on human flesh so that he could feel our pain, know our sorrows, and then redeem our souls. And the Bible said that he came first to the lost souls of Israel, his own people, but they rejected him and received him not, because they had been blinded by their tradition and their misunderstanding of the law of Moses. And when Jesus exposed the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, they falsely accused him of blasphemy and had him crucified on the cross. But death could not keep him, and the grave could not hold him, because on the third day, and somebody say on the third day, on the third day, early that Sunday morning, he arose from the dead and took the power and the sting out of death and re-entered into his glory with all power and authority in his hand. And when we get to heaven to be with the Lord, we will also share in his glory. But in the meantime, and somebody said in the meantime, in the meantime, as we struggle along in this pilgrim journey, we can take joy in knowing that the suffering of the present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Because our hope is in the living word and the glory of his kingdom. And the second thing we learn from the text is that our trials will not last forever. And that ought to be good news for somebody here today, to know that trouble don't last always. And we see proof of that in verse 6, where Peter says that we can rejoice because our various trials will be just for a little while. And what Peter was saying to the church today is that we can rejoice in all things, because we know that in Christ Jesus we have a lively hope of future glory that awaits us on the other side, where our joy in the Lord will be far greater than any suffering that we may experience while here on earth. But we got to learn to maintain steadfast in faith and prayer. And even though we may not fully understand why God allows bad things to happen to his people, but what we do know is that our God is a good God. And somebody said, God is a good God. Our God is a good God, and he has a plan and a purpose when he allows bad things to come our way. And the Bible says that 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything, somebody say everything, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But I have discovered, my brothers and sisters, that it is easy to have joy and praise the Lord when things are going good. But what will you do when things are not going so well? When a storm comes your way and you don't feel like rejoicing. But what you must understand is that praising and rejoicing in the Lord is not about how we feel, but rather it's all about trusting in the promises of God. And if you believe in the Word and trust in the Lord, then God will turn your sadness into joy and your midnight hour into a bright and sunny day. In other words, we may be struggling with some trials and disappointments today, but the Word of God says that there will be a shout of joy in the morning for those who trust and wait on the Lord, because our joy is in the strength of the Lord. And if we ever needed the strength of the Lord, it's in our time of trouble, when everything seems to be falling apart. Children and grandchildren acting crazy. Money looking funny. Marriage on the rocks. Bad report from the doctor. Layoff notice from the job. Distressed and depressed. But even in the midst of our darkest day, we can still rejoice in the Lord, because His Word and the power of His might is all that we need to move forward and make it through any trial, grief, or sorrow that may come upon us. For the Bible says that Psalm 34 and 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all. But at the same time, there are many preachers and teachers of the Word who would have us to believe that Christians are not supposed to suffer. But if the truth be told, because you are a Christian, that's the reason you suffer. Because if Satan had not brought any trials and troubles into your life, it's a good chance that he does not see you as a threat to his plan. And you don't have to go around looking for trouble, because trouble will find you out. And if it has not rained in your life yet, just keep on living, because the day will come. And somebody said the day will come. The day will come when you will have to cry sometime. But even when the going gets rough and the hills are hard to climb, we can still have joy, because we know that no storm or circumstance can be greater than the grace that God has in store for His people. But what you must realize is that God does not operate according to our time schedule. Because whenever we're faced with a difficult situation, we want His help, and we want it right now. But we got to learn to wait on the Lord and trust in the power of prayer. For the Bible says that they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and He will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on Him. But all of us, pastors, preachers, teachers, deacons, ushers, all of us will sometimes miss the mark and fall short of our calling. But in spite of our faults and failures, God still loves us and all of our sins. And somebody say, all of our sins. All of our sins, past, present, and future, have been covered by the blood of Jesus. And even though the devil may bring sickness and tragedy into our lives, he can never destroy our souls, because we now belong to Jesus, purchased by his blood. And by his stripes, the victory has already been won. And all we got to do to claim the victory is to step out on faith. Because God will always hear and answer our prayers of faith. And the Bible says that every day should be a day of thanksgiving. In other words, every day is a good day. A good day to give praises unto the Lord. Because he didn't have to wake you up this morning, but he did. He didn't have to put food on your table, but he did. And he didn't have to send his son to suffer the death of the cross, but he did. And if we learn to keep our eyes and our minds stayed on Jesus, he will provide the way to true and lasting joy, both in this life and in the life to come. And that brings us to our third and final point. Well, we learn that our trials and tribulations are meant for a purpose. And God's purpose for his people is a divine purpose. For the Bible says in Romans 8 and 29 that we have been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. And everything that happens to us in this life is directly related to God's plan and purpose to mold and shape us into becoming more and more like Jesus, who endured the pain and suffering of the cross so that we could once again be restored to proper relationship with God. And what Peter is saying to us today is that it is through our suffering and afflictions that the proof of our faith will be tried and tested. And in verse 7, Peter says that our faith is more precious than gold, because gold will perish if overheated in the fire. But true and genuine faith will not perish, but will look beyond the present circumstances and look to Jesus and the hope of future glory. But as long as we are on this side of glory, God will use the fiery trials of life to draw us closer to him. And it does not matter how good you look, how smart you are, or how long you've been saved and sanctified. Because when it's your time to suffer, you're going to be tried and tested. And when Satan attacked Job, Job's three friends assumed that God was punishing Job because of his sin. And they would falsely accuse Job of being a sinner and a hypocrite. But the Bible said that God had no cause at all against Job. And in the midst of his pain and suffering, Job cried out for answers, but there was no response from heaven. And Job got no comfort at all from his wife, the mother of his 10 children, who told him to curse God and die. But through all the trials and suffering, Job did not forsake his faith and trust in the Lord. and said that Job 23:10, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as pure gold. And in due time, God restored everything that Job lost. And the Bible said that Job, that God blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And when you find yourself in the fiery furnace of affliction, remember that God is always in control of the circumstances and will not allow us to be burdened with more than we are able to bear. And we see a good example of divine grace in the life of the Apostle Paul. For when Paul had the thorn in the flesh, the Bible said that he went to the Lord 3 times in prayer. And after the 3rd time, Paul got his answer. When God said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient. And notice, if you will, that God did not remove the thorn in the flesh, but he did give Paul the grace to make his fruit. In other words, he may not change our circumstances, but with Jesus on our side, we know that we can go to the throne of grace and receive all the grace we need to endure whatever our trials or troubles may be. But oftentimes, when Satan attacks us, we have a tendency to get impatient. And instead of waiting on the Lord, we try to do things our own way. And as a result, we fail to see the big picture. But in order to rejoice in the glory of the Lord, we must learn to be like King David, who understood that God was with him and would provide and protect him in his time of trouble. Because God knows what's best for his children and will guide and direct the circumstances so that all things will work out according to his good purpose. But what you must realize is that trials and tribulations are necessary for the purifying of our faith. And although trials and troubles are bound to come, the good thing about it is that Jesus has promised to be with us in whatever our situation or circumstance may be. And he will use those difficult times to make us stronger in our faith and wiser in our decisions. But you got to learn to trust in Jesus and lean not to your own understanding. And then you will be able to see things from an eternal perspective with the confidence of knowing that the trials and circumstances of this earthly journey are only a stepping stone to the heavenly home that Jesus had prepared for them that love him. And if you love the Lord Jesus and trust in his word, then you will have no need to worry about anything in this world. But pray about everything, knowing that no trial will test us beyond our faith and ability to endure. And so the question here today, my brothers and sisters, is have you been tried and tested in the fire? And have you learned to wait and trust in the Lord to make the rough and crooked places straight? And even though we may not fully understand how God can love us so much and at the same time allow us to suffer so much grief and sorrow. But in our text today, Peter is reminding us that it is through our suffering that God is preparing us, molding and shaping us for the eternal glory that awaits us in our heavenly home. And we have all been called to bear witness to the grace and glory of God. But how can you give a testimony if you've never been tested? And the journey from earthly suffering to heavenly glory is a short journey. And for those of us who persevere in faith, we will not be disappointed. Because Peter says at verse 9 that the end of our faith is the salvation of our soul. And so, don't allow the devil to steal your joy, because the victory has already been won. And when trouble time come our way, we know that we have a God who is willing and able to make everything all right. And how many of you here today know that God will make a way? And he may not come when you think he should, but he's always, always on time. And do I have a witness here? And as I go to my seat, let me close by saying, I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And is there anybody here know that the Lord will make a way? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will.